Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Jacqueline Sova, and today we will be studying Perek Vav, Chapter 6. We mentioned in our introduction that Perek Vav is the beginning of Yeshayahu's prophecy according to some opinions. When we get deeper into the Perek, we will discover why the Sefer does not start here if it chronologically came first. There are those of the opinion, like the Malbim, who believe the Sefer is in chronological order. Based on this approach, his prophecy was sporadic until now. But with this Perek, he is officially appointed as a consistent prophet. It is also worth noting that this Perek is the Haftorah for Parshas Yisro, the Parsha when we received the Torah. Har Sinai was an incredible revelation of Hashem. And in this Perek as well, Yeshayahu has a vision of Hashem that is quite intense and amazing, known as Maaseh Merkava. Bishnas Mos HaMelech Uziyahu Va'er'eh Es Hashem Yoshev Al Kisei Ram Vinisa Vishulav Milayim Es HaHechal. In the year that Uziyahu the king died, I saw God sitting on his high and lofty throne, and the lower edges filled the temple. Uziyahu was a very successful king in many ways. His influence on agriculture and the military helped advance Yehuda's political position. In fact, the Book of Malachim and Divrei HaYamim both say about Uziyahu that he did what was right in the eyes of Hashem. There is a debate whether Uziyahu actually died in this Perek or if he was punished with tzara'at, leprosy, which Chazal likened to a dead person. We will follow the approach that Uziyahu got tzara'at and therefore could no longer rule from this moment onward, and his son Yotam had to rule in his place during the final 11 years of his father's life. Uziyahu's tzara'at gives a historical context for when Yeshayahu gets this prophecy, but the cause of Uziyahu's tzara'at will also become clear through this perek. Yeshayahu describes seeing Hashem sitting on a throne with its lower legs in the Beis HaMikdash. How could Yeshayahu see Hashem when Moshe himself was told, Ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai, that no one can see Hashem and live? Moshe had a much higher level of nevuah called Aspaklaria ha'me'ira, a crystal clear vision, while Yeshayahu had an Aspaklaria she'ino me'ira, prophecy that was more fuzzy and less clear. As such, with Moshe's level of prophecy and clarity of vision, he cannot see Hashem and live. It is like looking at the sun without wearing sunglasses. Yeshayahu, on the other hand, was like someone wearing sunglasses while looking at the sun, and he therefore saw Hashem, but through a less clear, much more blurred vision. What Yeshayahu sees here is an incredibly lofty throne, but it is high up, away from the Beis HaMikdash, and only the legs are left to fill the Heichal. Only the lowest edges of the throne were still in the temple. Looking at the Beis HaMikdash as an onlooker, it seems like everything was running well, lahalacha, and that Hashem's presence still filled the sanctuary. But Yeshayahu sees that Hashem is already beginning to remove his throne, and only the lowest edges remain. This is like everything Yeshayahu has been describing. With human eyes, everyone is walking the walk, talking the talk, and the Beis HaMikdash is functioning with the same holiness as usual. But Yeshayahu now sees beyond the facade, both in human behavior and Hashem's distancing himself from the Beis HaMikdash. What Yeshayahu is about to see is quite remarkable. Srafim omdim mima'alo. Sheish kenafim, sheish kenafim le'echad. Bishtayim yechase panav, ubishtayim yechase raglav, ubishtayim ye'ofeith. Srafim, fiery angels, were standing ready to serve him. Six wings each, two to cover the face, two to cover the legs, and two to fly. Vikara ze el ze ve'amar, kadosh, 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 Hashem tzvakot. Melo kol haaretz kivodo. And they called to each other and said, Holy, holy, holy is Hashem, whose honor fills the whole world. Of course, these words are familiar to all of us as the words we say in Kedusha, Berchas Kriyashema, and in the Uvalatzion Tefillah. Yeshayahu is seeing Hashem's throne and Seraphim ready to serve him. According to Rashi, the angels covered their faces so as not to look directly at Hashem's presence. They covered their legs out of modesty, like the Kohanim who covered their legs in the Beis HaMikdash, and they had two wings to fly to carry out Hashem's mission. On another level, Rav Hirsch argues that the angels use their wings to make a statement. Rav Hirsch writes, "He sees not where he goes. He looks not where he stands. He only uses his winged power to carry out God's will. That is to say, he leaves everything to God, his very existence, his attitude, his goal, the shaping of the plan and purpose of what he is to do. It is sufficient for him to fulfill God's aim, and he devotes all of his winged energy and his very being towards this purpose." What a beautiful message for Yeshayahu to see as he is about to embark on a mission as a prophet for the Jewish people representing God. The angels are a shining example of what true service of Hashem looks like. Trust in Hashem, humility, and subjugation. Yeshayahu has seen leaders swayed by ego and arrogance. Here, Yeshayahu learns that henceforth, his role as a national prophet is to make sure his motivations are for Hashem and not for his own honor and glory. And how ironic is the contrast in this chapter? Yeshayahu is in the middle of seeing the ultimate subjugation and service to Hashem when suddenly in his vision, the temple begins to quake and the temple fills with smoke. It is a vision of what caused Uzziyahu's death, or leprosy. Despite his amazing advances and service of Hashem, like so many leaders before him, the power and success got to Uzziyahu, and he marched into the Beis HaMikdash to bring a sacrifice only a Kohen can bring. At that moment, Uzziyahu was struck with tzara'at, an illness God gives to those who try to take honor undue to them. And he had tzara'at for the rest of his life. This moment of arrogance disabled him from ever leading again. Here Yeshayahu sees the clear gap between Uzziyahu and the Malachim. Who are we here to serve, Hashem or ourselves? This is a crucial lesson for Yeshayahu's leadership to be successful. His reaction to seeing such a scene is, "Va'omar, oili ki nidmiti. Ki ish temei sefasayim anochi, ubetoch am temei sefasayim anochi yoshev, ki as hamelach Hashem tzvakot re'u einai." And he said, "Oh no, I must remain silent. I am a man of impure lips, and I live among a nation with impure lips, and my eyes have seen Hashem." To some, Yeshayahu is panicked that he is going to die for being unworthy of such a vision. According to others, Yeshayahu is filled with grief over witnessing the Beis HaMikdash in a state of disgrace. Either way, he, like many other leaders, responds with humility, explaining why he is unworthy for such an honor. However, in stating, "Ubetoch am temei sefasayim anochi yoshev," and "I live amongst people who speak impurely," he spoke Lashon Hara on the Jewish people. The Chafetz Chaim explains that Yeshayahu's intention was really still to explain his own unworthiness. He doesn't feel deserving to see Hashem's presence, not in his merit, nor in the nation's merit. But in his self-deprecation, he spoke negatively about Klal Yisrael. To some, this is why we do not introduce the entire Sefer with this perek. We do not want to meet Yeshayahu as someone who speaks negatively about the Jewish people. "Vaya'af Eli echad min hasrafim, ubiyado ritzpa, b'mel kachayim lakach mi'al hamizbeach." Because of his unintentional derogatory comments, one of the srafim used tongs to take a burning coal from the mizbeach. "Vayaga alpi, vayomer, hine naga ze al sfasecha, v'sar avonecha, v'chatatcha tekupar." And the angel touched his mouth and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your sin is removed and forgiven." "Va'eshma et kol Hashem, omer, et mi eshlach, umi yelech lanu, va'omar hineni shlacheni." I heard the voice of Hashem saying, "Who should I send? Who will go for us? And Yeshayahu said, "Here I am, send me." Hineni was the same response spoken by many great leaders before him: Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, Moshe, and Shmuel. But here it seems repetitive. Hineni shlacheni, here I am, send me. On a basic level, it shows a strong desire on Yeshayahu's part to partake of this mission. On a deeper level, the Vilna Gaon writes that when Hashem asks, "Who will go for us?" He is looking for a leader who will be a champion for both Hashem and the Jewish people. Leaders like Yonah heavily defended the Jewish people, but not Hashem. And leaders like Eliyahu HaNavi forcefully advocated for Hashem, but not the Jewish people. But Hashem wants a leader like Moshe, who is able to defend, represent, and protect the respect of Hashem and the Jewish people. Umi yilech lanu, who will go for us? Here, right after Yeshayahu spoke negatively about the Jewish people, it is especially important for him to realize that Hashem wants Yeshayahu to stand up for Hashem's honor, but Hashem also wants Yeshayahu to defend the honor of Klal Yisrael. He will see ugly things in these people, quite disappointing things, but his role is to help them, defend them, and continue seeing the potential in them. Hence the double response, Hineni shlacheni, I am ready to serve both you, Hashem, and the Jewish people. The final three psukim ends with a mixed emotional message. On the one hand, Yeshayahu sees his job will not be easy. Hashmein leiv ha'am hazeh. The people have a layer of fat on their hearts. They are numb to the deep and beautiful messages of the Nevi'im and of Torah. It will be hard to make an impression and wake the people up because they are so occupied with their overabundance of pleasures and luxuries. They are apathetic to these religious messages. The failure of the Jewish people will not just be a devastation to them, but to Ha'adam, to all of humanity. During Shlomo's reign, the entire world recognized the power of Hashem. With their sins and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Jews did not just distance themselves from God, but also built a gap between the nations and Hashem. But the Perek ends with two comforting thoughts. When describing life in exile, the Pasuk says, V'raba ha'azuva bekerev ha'aretz, which can sound like the exile will last a great amount of time. But Rav Julius Hirsch explains that despite ha'azuva, them being exiled, bekerev ha'aretz, all over the world, v'raba, they will still be great and accomplish amazing things. In exile, in many countries and all across the world, the Jews will continue to make an impact, to grow and flourish, to produce Torah communities with shuls and schools. But number two, Hashem ends the perek calling them Zera Kodesh, a holy seed. Even when so much of the nation deserts Hashem, there will always be a Zera Kodesh, those in the Jewish nation who remains loyal and proud to be Jewish. And remember from our last parak that Mashiach's growth is associated with tzmicha, sprouting. But the first step begins with planting a seed, a Zera Kodesh. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat, Alexander Sender.